It'll be a, it's something that you're probably going to hear, maybe some things you've never heard before, but it should be things that probably confirm a lot of what you know. But I always want to be able to share something that, you know, takes you a little deeper. I mean, if it's things that are true, they're Bible, it's, you need to know this stuff. And so rather than hold it back and kind of water it down, let's give the truth and the whole word and let you decipher and let God work in your heart. You know, the Holy Spirit uses what he has on the inside of you. That's why we hear the word. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the verse says. And if you look up hearing, it means hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing infinity. Okay, and it means that we continually hear the word and we get it inside of us. And then I believe that's what the Holy Spirit then uses, the words of Christ and the words of God that are in us. And he uses that for his glory to work things out. It helps you make decisions, and small decisions or big ones are much, much easier if you have the word of God in you, because then you do what you know is the right thing to do. It makes life go easier. So praise God. There's the sermon before the sermon. Let's get in and see what God has for us. Let's start with prayer this morning. Amen? Amen? Amen. God, we are thanking you this morning. We're grateful to be here, Lord. We're grateful to be in your presence. It's an awesome place to be when we can go, and a place where, Father, I pray you'll encourage us to invite our friends, invite our families, invite people to be a part of, Lord, just to glorify your name and allow you to work in their life and to see what you can do, Lord. That distant Christian, Father, the distant unbeliever, Lord, those folks are longing for you, Lord, and I pray that you help us to share you with them and to help encourage them into the fold, into the kingdom of God. Father, you do the work, we just do the inviting, and we are your hands and feet and mouths in so many ways in that endeavor, Lord. So, Father, I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, as we press into the signs of the times, as we're learning more about what is happening around us right now, that we can be aware, that we can walk forward with an understanding of what we're called to do and how to live out this life then because of that. Father, we're praising you for it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about, it's Signs of the Times Part 3. What are we seeing right now? Okay, so we're going to start with, we only get started because there's several. But we're going to get started with some of what we're seeing right now in our society, what is going on, not just in Rawlins, Wyoming, but also around the world. This is happening. So we read the verse last week where Jesus was calling out the religious folks who could not discern. He called out the religious folks who could discern and predict and anticipate the weather, but they were missing the current signs. They were ignorant of the true signs of the times that were happening right in front of them. So as we talk about the signs of the times, okay, we need to keep in mind that a sign is not an end in itself. When we see something happening, that's not the end of it. We see that happening. Okay, the sign is a clue. It's something that points to something else or points to someone. In a lot of the case, it's pointing to Jesus and his return. But a sign is something that, whether it be along a road or a sign on a door, or, you know, we have a sign above the door that says exit, you know, those kind of things are an informational sign. It gives you information so that you can make a decision. If I need to leave, I know right where the exit is, right? It gives me that. So the signs that we're looking at, okay, are going to give us a understanding or give us some information that we need for the next step or something else in our walk with God or his walk with us. So last week we talked about road signs. Okay, we talked about how some of those signs are actual literal signs, like a stop sign, right? What do you do when you come to a stop sign?
Stop.
Yeah, even the youngest of our congregation knows that. Okay, it's a literal sign. It tells me what to do exactly. Okay, it's not something I have to think about. It's like, pull, stop. Yep, I need to stop. Look both ways. Proceed with caution. Okay, other signs are a warning. Okay, they're a warning of something that for a fact is about to come into my experience, like a road construction ahead. Okay, or, you know, things like that, a passing lane 2 miles, right? It's telling you a fact, some information that is not right now, but it's telling you what you're about to come into. And so it gives you that as a warning, something to prepare for. A lot of the scripture stuff is along that line. Okay, then Other signs we talked about are things that you kind of have to think through. Okay, is the road wet right now? Right? If it says slippery when wet, okay, then you have to think about it. Is the road wet right now? Or, you know, is the temperature close to freezing? Okay, then that sign that says bridges may be icy, today might be the day, right? If it's 90 out, I don't think about it. If it's 30 out, I'm thinking about it. I'm processing that. So this week, we're going to, rather than talk about road signs as much, we're going to talk more specifically about signs. Okay, a true biblical sign is always something that represents a higher spiritual reality. Biblical signs are deeper than what it is more spiritual than that. Okay, many of the signs that Jesus reveals, for example, point to his second coming, okay, which is a literal event, yet it's profoundly spiritual in nature. Okay, his return for his bride we talked about in the first part of this series. Okay, it's sort of like when Jesus gives these signs or tells you these things and says, so when you see this happening, know that my return is very near. He's preparing us for something. The day turn is when the spiritual eternity and the natural world collide one more time, okay, for the end of the age, okay, that we're a part of right now. Okay, now there are several big signs described in the Bible. Okay, definitely some described in like the books of Daniel, okay, the books of Matthew and Luke and 1 Timothy, okay, they all have definite signs that are written into them. But not the only indicators of the last days or the day of the Lord, often deemed some of the most significant signs. Okay, and we're going to look at some of those this morning. Many of them are warnings about things that we can see with our own eyes. They're things that if you're just average John Doe, whether you're a Christian or not, you're going to be able to see the signs that are described. They're physical things that we can see with our eyes. But all of the signs that we're going to talk about, all of the signs that we can see, we're going to be able to see very clearly via the Holy Spirit that resides within every believer. Okay, the Holy Spirit is where we need to gain a spiritual understanding. Remember, a sign has more than just the physical attribute. It has a spiritual higher reality to it. And so as we look at things, we want to be able to discern it with the Spirit of God that He has given unto us. Okay, and I think that's a key distinction I wanted to point out as we press forward into the signs of the times. When we're looking to see what's happening right now and what should I do next because of it, we need to use the Holy Spirit and utilize Him. Okay, if you try to understand the signs with only your human mind, okay, and only, and here's what we do, we interpret with our emotions, okay? And if we only interpret with our human mind and our emotions, you're going to open yourself up to being deceived by what you're seeing and hearing. The Holy Spirit is not deceived. He cannot be, right? There is nothing. You cannot lie to the Holy Ghost. Didn't Peter say? Okay, you can't hide stuff from Him, so nothing is hidden to Him or out of His realm of knowing exactly what is happening, both from God and what the enemy is up to. So the Holy Spirit is where it's at. Now, God showed me something very plainly the other night in a dream. Okay, and I don't get a lot of dreams. Sometimes it's more than others, but I had a very vivid one the other night. And He showed me very clearly that in the last days, there will be many signs that people don't know if they're God or not, but they grab onto them as if they are God, and that breeds confusion into their life. Okay? It's that not knowing of whether it's God or not, but just grabbing on as if it is God. Not discerning, not praying, not allowing the Holy Spirit to have any part of it, but just, oh, there's a sign, and just grabbing onto that and going with it. Okay, now, someone in my dream very clearly spoke a word to me that I have never heard before. I mean, in my life, I've never thought up, or it's not a real word, I didn't think. Okay, but I went to this person because there was something going on that I didn't know if it was right or wrong. And so I went to ask of this person, is it right or wrong? And that's what happened in the dream, as he said, it is, I looked this up, it is affirmatious. Affirmatious. Okay, and I was like, you know, at first I kind of made fun, I made light of it. It was a very vivid dream. And at first I kind of made light, and I was talking to this guy, and I said, I said, Aphrodophilus, you know, what? I never heard of that. What is, you know, is that what you said? And he goes, no, it's affirmitious. And so I repeated it back to him and I said, affirmitious. He said, yeah, it's when you don't know whether it's right or wrong. That's affirmitious. Okay, well, so I took that. I decided when I woke up, I wrote a few things down. I started looking things up in a book that describes dreams and things that happen. And I thought, you know, of course, affirmitious is not in any of those kind of books. So I looked it up. And I found out that affirmitious is a literal organization in the world that customizes demonically inspired daily affirmations for people based on astrology and your zodiac sign personality traits. Okay, now they don't list it as demonically inspired daily affirmations. They call it a daily affirmation based on astrology and your zodiac sign personality traits. Okay, in other words, they will customize, tailor make a message for you and will even send you a deck of customized cards, okay, that you can pull out one every day and write it down in the planner, the daily planner that they will send you. And then you can interpret or decide what to do with that via the affirmitious handbook that they will sell you. Okay, so you can see what it's kind of about. It's somebody's making some money on it, right, and using it. But they're going about it by appealing to that part of the human brain that is always wondering, what's going to happen today? Or how should I live out my day today? It's when you're lost, I'll tell you, some of that stuff is like, whoo, this thing, you know, it's like reading your horoscope, right? It's like, you know, you get a fortune cookie. Oh boy, yeah, I'm going to come into money today, you know. Well, it's appealing to a certain part of the human psyche. It appeals to the brain, okay, in a way that people will grab onto that. Okay, many Christians, and especially what I call pseudo-Christians, okay, maybe a Christian in name only, okay, they're going to be drawn to signs like these, and they're going to be engulfed with a kind of a bewilderment and awe of something that is clearly not of God. Okay, if they pull out their card from the deck and boy, it just describes what happened yesterday or what, you know, and that's what happens today, it appeals to that part of them that says, wow, this is supernatural. This is like somebody speaking to me. Okay, and they get in awe of something that is not of God. Okay, but if you base decisions on demonically inspired human wisdom, ultimately you're going to be led to destruction. Okay, it lasts a little while, but in the end, it doesn't count for anything. It doesn't get you there. So it is critical to enlist the power of the Holy Spirit to show you what is of God and what is not. Okay, and that's what God said very clearly on the things that are happening in the world. Many times people will come up with a, here's what's happening. But I don't take that at face value all the time. I just don't. I'm like, okay, Lord, I've heard this. Now what? Holy Spirit, I need you to reveal to me if this person is right. I have been, I've been a Christian a long time, and some of the things I believed as a young Christian, I don't believe anymore because the Holy Spirit was able to get a hold of me and speak truth into my life. Okay, or brought somebody in, and even when they speak something that makes sense, it clicks, it's like, wow, that's awesome. I'm still going to go and take it to the Word and compare it and say, hey, does this line up? Number one, does that person's life line up with the Word of God? Are they living it out, or are they, you know, whatever? Okay, so that's where we want to get into the point of enlisting the Holy Spirit. We've got to get Him involved in it because, like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit is not fooled. Okay, He will not be deceived, and therefore that Spirit of truth will give us what we need as well. Okay, now enlisting the Holy Spirit is possible through the definitive gift of the Holy Spirit that's given to those that have the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's called discerning of spirits. It's one of the nine, right? It's these things are given by the Holy Spirit. Okay, and it's readily available to any born-again believer that will ask for it. You want to know and be able to determine what is happening around you, be able to discern what spirit is somebody coming from. If it You know, is it of God or is it not of God? Discerning of spirits is where that's at. You can discern things, but it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit that will empower you to be able to do that. So over the next couple of weeks, I want to describe for you some of the signs of the times. Okay, things like deception. Okay, we're going to get to that one today. Unfortunately, it took a lot of my time. So we're going to get to deception today. Okay, but there's also other stuff that's written as signs, like the rising of false teachers and false prophets, wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, famine and pestilence, earthquakes, persecution of the church, offenses, lawlessness, love growing cold, the preaching of the gospel in all the world. I look forward to that one. Fear, an increase in human knowledge. That's a sign of the last days. An increase in human knowledge. The shortening of time for God's elect. The rebirth of the nation of Israel. Apostasy, perplexity, and shakings. Well, God is going to do some shaking. You know, I heard that the other day about, if any, Lance Wallnau, I think it was the one that said it, but something to the effect of, Christians sometimes think that it's just getting so dark and things are happening and boy, bad stuff is happening all over and the devil's really running rampant. And he kind of turned that a little bit and said, you know what? In the last days, God is going to shake things up so that that which remains is of Him. Okay, and so there's some of that happening where, and I've said this, remember at the beginning of the year, you know, there's certain things that are happening. I think last year in 2022, it was the separation of the goats and the sheep. You're going to be able to start to see that divide even more. Okay, in 2023, it is God revealing who's with Him and who's not. Okay, it is really coming to pass. So we'll see what 2024, God is speaking some things about what is coming in the next year as well. Okay, but first let's talk about deception. Okay, four times in Matthew chapter 24, that's one of my go-tos if I want to look at what signs does Jesus say are going to happen before He comes back, what things are we supposed to be looking out for. I go to Matthew chapter 24, and in that chapter alone, Jesus warns the believers four times against being deceived, okay? And that tells me that's a true sign. That is something that is going to be very obvious. Let's look at some of those. In Matthew 24, start with verse 1, read the first 6. It says that Jesus went out, He departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world, or the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Okay, did you catch that? Many will come in His name. Okay, that means Christians. Okay, people proclaiming to be Christ-centered. Okay, and you have to look at their life and a bunch of other stuff to see where they're really at. Matthew 24:11, Jesus says again, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And again, Matthew 24:24, it says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. It's so much that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Okay, so we see a clear warning that there will be some who proclaim to be Christ who will deceive many. Or they will come in the name of Christ and deceive many. Now, Christ means the anointed one. Okay, so literally when he says there's false Christ that will come, it means there's people that will set themselves up as not just being anointed, but they will claim to be the anointed one. Okay? In other words, they have something that supersedes everybody else. Okay? And you're going to be able to see this. Now, one key indicator for you to look out for is that they will be drawing you after them instead of truly exalting Jesus. Okay, now that's, you're going to be able to see that, because the Antichrist doesn't want Jesus sitting on the throne and glorified and risen up and everybody to worship him. He wants to be worshiped, right? So false Christ is someone who says, I'm anointed, you should be looking at me. Oh, and by the way, I'm a Christian, right? And so they kind of want to tag that on, okay? I'll get into that in a minute. Okay, I've learned over the years to exercise the gift of discernment of spirits. Okay, and I've come across many that even claim to be pastors or leaders in the church that have the wrong spirit that is compelling them. Okay, and when you discern that, you can see where somebody's coming from. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later too, but I listened to my pastor the other night, and he was sharing experiences where he would be having conversations with people in a church, and it would really be like a demonic spirit would be speaking through somebody. He could discern that. Now, he's been gifted in that for many, many years, and was able to understand those kind of conversations, where things were coming from. But you can discern the spirit of where people are coming from. If a leader tells you to be like them, but you look at their life and they're not adhering to God's word, then they're really not to be followed. Okay, that is really the one. I won't get into that. That's a whole other topic. They should want you to follow Jesus and his ways. Okay, to point to Christ, that this is our model. This is who we want to become like. Okay, not them and their own ways. Now, granted, most pastors and leaders will do their best to set examples. Okay, to set the example, to be a demonstration of a life lived after God. But the reality is they are still a human being that is seeking after God just like everybody else. Okay, we are still human, in other words. Okay, and that is one of the problems in the Christian church today, is that people follow a man of God more than they follow God. Okay, and they take everything that, you know, this is like their God. Okay, and then when that man stumbles, they lose faith in God because of it. You know, I've known leaders over the years that have fallen hard. I mean, stumbled and hit the ground kind of thing. But it literally hasn't shaken my faith one tiny bit, because my faith was not in them, but my faith is in God. Okay, I'm not going to walk away from the church because a pastor was bad, or, you know, somebody fell, or some sin came in, or some other. It's not going to phase my faith in God. I'm not going to turn away from him and say, oh, yeah, all churches are bad because I had a bad experience in one. It just doesn't work that way for me. Okay, because my faith is in God. I trust him. Okay, and I know that God can work in hearts and do things beyond anything that I can see with my own eyes. Okay, now, the end time of deception is something that is very apparent today. I see that spirit of deceit as a dominant spirit of this age. Okay, and when Jesus says it several times, and some of the other guys, we read Paul's warnings, all these things, it's all about don't let anybody deceive you. Okay, deception is not something that's new to the devil. It's not a new tactic. It's not like, ooh, in the last days, I'm going to use deception. It's been going on for a long, long time, thousands of years. Okay, but I think with the ability to disseminate information so easily that it seems to be increasing in our day and age. You can't even do it anymore. You used to be able to Google actual Christian facts, and you just can't anymore. You get so many different answers, and you know, everybody has chimed in on Wikipedia and changed this and done that, and you can do three searches for the exact same thing and get three different answers. Okay, that's confusion, and that's the enemy's tactic in last days, is going to be confusion. Because if he can confuse you, he can deceive you. You don't know what's right and what's wrong, and oh, this guy says this is it, and off we go. Okay, and that's a deception that he uses. It's a tactic. There are many that are being deceived by false gospels, empty promises, okay, and they're turning away from the faith. Margie and I did to my pastor's radio program this last week, and we heard him make a strong statement about how many churches are turning things around, and they're telling people all about what Jesus can do for them instead of promoting surrender and repentance and serving God. Okay, it's all, here's what God, and so we have a bunch of takers in the church instead of a bunch of givers, a bunch of, You know, people that they're just there to get, and instead of going to be used of God, which is your true calling as a believer. God built a body to be hands and feet and mouth and all these different things, and a body is not always doing that like it needs to be. It seems that people want the presence with a T. They want the presence from God more than they want the presence of God with a C. Right? It's like, what can I get rather than just being in His presence and worshiping Him for who He is and allowing then Him to move through us? You know, in our culture that we live on, it's pretty easy to get swept up into all these ideologies that contradict Scripture. Okay, things that take us down the wrong road, we can get caught up in that unless we weigh those ideas against sound biblical doctrine. Okay, deception occurs either when we're ignorant of or we outright reject the truth. You can reject the truth. I can tell you all day long that something is true, and you can just reject that and walk your own way. Or you can just not know that it was true. Okay, that's the ignorance, and that's a lot of Christians in that today. The Spirit of truth will reveal the truth to you if you're desirous of it. Okay, if you go to the Holy Spirit and say, God, I need to know what is right and what is wrong on this, He can and will reveal it to you. God doesn't want you being confused about Him and His ways. But you have to press into Him. Okay, that means you actually open this thing up once in a while. Okay, it means that you get up 10 minutes early so you can say, God, what do you got for me today? And, oh, God wants me to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now you have a mission for the day. Now you know that God has given you not just something for you to encourage you, but now He's given you something to go and to do. Okay, or all these things that you get from your Scripture, the Holy Spirit has something that He can work with when you're in it. Now, we can go to the Bible, and the devil has at times. I'm not saying he has never twisted Scripture to get somebody going the wrong direction. But if you're in the Bible and you're reading the Scripture and you're allowing the Holy Spirit and you're talking to Him, you are much more likely to find the truth reading your Bible than you are by reading your horoscope or by letting some, you know, human wisdom of men through a zodiac card guide your day. Okay? You're going to get truth in the Bible more than you're going to get it anywhere else. Okay? It's God's way of revealing Himself to us and keeping us on track. Okay? The Apostle Paul was careful to teach Christians the truth that it's in Christ Jesus, and then he warned us to hold fast to that which you have learned. Okay, hold fast to the truth of good teaching. He wrote to Timothy this. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. He said, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, and again to the Colossians, in chapter 1 of Colossians, 1:21 and 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul, we know as we've been studying that book, that it's all about the preeminence of Christ. It's all about, you know, how Christ is supreme, the supremacy of Christ. And he was teaching them that because there was a false doctrine, false teachings going around. He's trying to keep them on track. So Paul writes to them in Colossians 1:21, and he warns them. He says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, so he could present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Okay, later on in his letter to the Colossians, Paul warns them to not let any man beguile them or lead them astray into false humility and into legalism and going back under the law and worshiping things that like angels and things that they have, you know, construed in their own fleshly mind to be right, but not to get caught up in that because they haven't even consulted with Jesus about it. Okay, he said they haven't sought the head. You know, they haven't talked to Jesus about those things. One thing that you can listen for, we kind of close this out. One thing you can listen for when you hear the gospel preached is, does it cause division or does it bring unity in the body of Christ? And I'm not talking about, you know, preaching and that points out the difference between the sheep and the goats, or that points out this is evil and this is good. That's going to cause some people are going to understand. People are going to feel convicted, those kind of things. But I'm talking about teaching and attitudes that literally sow division within the church, the Christian church. Okay, look at Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Romans 16, 17 and 18. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Okay, now that phrase, "them that serve their own belly," okay, that is rooted in pride. Okay, that's why people do what they do. You want to know? Pride brings contention. Pride is where this is rooted. Okay, it's what causes people to want to be the one that has the corner on the market. You know, they want to be like Satan that says, "God's not doing it right. We need to do it this way." Okay, they're ones that know better than anyone else, and all others are inferior to them. Okay, their goal is their own esteem, their own satisfaction, rather than the truth of God. Okay, they will justify it to themselves to the point that they truly believe that they're even right. Okay, they don't just, not just saying it and trying to deceive themselves. They actually believe it at some point. Okay, I'm going to step on some toes, but Joseph Smith, who founded the Mormon Church, is a great example of this. Okay, he got a new revelation of how things were to be. Okay, the only problem with it is that it didn't line up with the Bible. So when they started coming up with putting together the Book of Mormon that was going to be kind of the new, you know, equated with Scripture handbook, okay, it didn't line up with God's Word to the point that it had to be revised hundreds of times because they kept finding things that didn't match the Bible. Oh, we better change that. Then they find something else that, well, we're going to lose people because most people believe the Bible, but they're not going to believe this if it doesn't match the Bible. So they started changing what the revelation was so that it would more fit a little bit better, at least. And then there's all these factual data and things that it would say that this happened and that, but it couldn't have. There was literally already proof that that couldn't have happened. Well, we'd change that too. And so they made all these changes to make it so that it would fit a little bit better. You can still go through it and find a ton of stuff that doesn't line up with Scripture, but that's a different story. Now, Mormonism has been around since the 1800s. Okay, but it's part of this worldwide deception that is dividing the body of Christ. Okay, it is by far the most well-organized cult in the world. Okay, it has membership that, I just looked it up yesterday, it exceeds 17 million people this last year. Okay, now in the modern era, okay, and today, we see not only ministries evolving and growing in numbers, so that revolve around paganism, okay, that is hugely on the rise in our society. Okay, but we also see false gospel ministries, Christian-type ministries that are popping up all over the place, each one with their own little gospel, okay, their own little message. Okay, well, we see Jesus this way, or we see Jesus that way. And it's popping up so that people have all these different choices that they can find the one that meets them. You know, that they feel is the best one. Groups like that come to mind when I think of that is like the Hebrew Roots movement, okay, that's drawing people back into Christians back under the laws of Moses. Okay, I just read an article yesterday or a couple days ago in Charisma magazine that was propagating a third covenant. Okay, you've heard of the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Covenant. Okay, supposedly Christians have been missing it this whole time, and that there's a covenant that we're supposed to adhere to that came out before those two. Okay, and that we've just been missing it, and if we'll just grab on to this new third covenant that's never mentioned and actually contradicted by the new gospel, the new covenant, okay, if we'll just grab on to that original back way back when, then, you know, Christ can come and then we'll be walking in the truth. Okay, now the early to mid 1800s were marked with a very dark time for the Christian church. It's when a lot of cults and cult Christian type things came out. Okay, cultish branches of Christianity is how I listed it. Things like Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness, okay, Christian Science. Some of those things were never even heard of, never even a thought until this demonic spiritual environment began during the 1820s and went on for quite a while. Okay, where people started getting new revelations that, oh, you've been missing it the whole time. Okay. We're seeing now in that the early 2000s, okay, that we're in right now, 2023, they're marked with a plethora of seeker-friendly ministries that lack accountability, okay, or any preaching that remotely resembles repentance or evangelism. Okay, it's all about me, okay, in other words. It's about worshiping me and what fits me and my needs. So often these groups are sparked by someone who maybe they got offended by the true gospel. They didn't like something that preacher preached to them. And man, I'm going to start my own that doesn't believe that. Okay, and now they just started a new gospel, this is really the gospel, and they have a new corner on the market. They grab a few unsuspecting believers to become their followers, and they start a home church where they can teach what they want to teach. Okay. Other times it's started by people who are persuaded, okay, by other Christians, maybe a handful of Christians, that they just want something different. They don't really like what's available, and so they want something different. So they convince somebody to start something in their home so that they can go to be a part of that. Okay? If you think I'm making this up, read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read the first four verses of that. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Okay, now most of you know I am a church planter. I have either planted or been a part of 5 church plants across the United States. I truly believe in planting new churches in areas where it is necessary or needed. But right now, what we need to see is the churches that are already in existence adhering to the truths of the Bible. Okay? And the people who attend those churches grabbing on to God's vision for the Christian church. Okay, if people would get on board with a struggling church and support it and encourage and serve in it instead of going out and starting their own, the gospel of Jesus Christ would flourish in our communities. Okay, it's people that, you know, they complain that, well, you know, my church is, it, you know, this church is just not evangelistic enough. We just aren't out there on the streets. We aren't, you know, preaching to the lost people enough. So they go out and start an evangelistic ministry instead of being the God-called evangelist for this church that God has called them to be. Okay, I see so often I'm in a pastor's group online, and there's thousands, tens of thousands of people in this group. And so often I see, I'm starting a church, or I want to start a church and such, what do you think should be my first steps? I responded one time, and I'll probably not do it anymore because it stirred up such a hornet's nest. And I was nice, and I said, you know, what's your current church needs? You know, is there any way, you know, I said, for every church that gets planted, there's probably 5 churches in the community that really could have used that person. If they are hungry and they're serving, they're willing to study God's word, they're willing to walk in integrity, they're wanting to serve in ministry, there's a place for you right now without having to go and try to gain followers and start new stuff and draw people away. And so often, those are geared towards drawing other believers from other churches because they think their doctrine is better than this doctrine. And they're not going to start, you know, bringing in the lost and saving people. And, you know, those I could see that, especially in big cities, places where, You know, I went to it was Washington, so Seattle, okay? And it was a, you know, I was there all week for training, and it got to be Wednesday night, and I'm like, there's got to be a church somewhere. I want to go to church. It's Wednesday night. That's what I do. So I got online, started searching and searching and searching, and I could not find a church to go to in Seattle that was within an hour from where I was. And I thought, well, it's kind of hard to justify the rental car for UPS to go to a church across there or whatever. So I ended up doing my own that night. Okay? But my point is that there are times and places where maybe a church on a corner, you know, that is within reach for people, where people could go to, or in foreign countries, you see it all the time that they have to walk miles to get to that church, so they put a church halfway, okay, that teaches good sound doctrine, and those people can go to that. Okay, I can see that stuff happen. I'm a church planner. Yeah, I understand the concept behind it and when to do it and when not to, but I know that there are things that are happening right now, okay, where you'll get an online Bible study, you'll get this group pops up, or this person starting something now at their place, and next thing you know, people are no longer being a part of the fellowship anymore. They're all divided, okay, and each one has a different message. Okay, well, we don't believe that way about Jesus. We believe this. Or you'll get together with a group of people in these small groups, and you'll go, you should have somebody who's God-given calling is to study, to shepherd, to care for that flock, and to make sure that they're protected from demonic stuff and from things that are not good for them. Okay, but they don't. They get together because somebody wanted to get together, and they've got, this person says, well, I think it means this. Somebody else says, well, I think it means this. And they're like, oh, I never thought of that. And then somebody else comes in, and boy, they're really wise. I think it means da 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 da. I know everybody oohs and ahs over that. And then you walk away. What do they believe? Nothing. They didn't grab anything out of God's word. All of them got confused more about what the truth is. Okay? So when you have somebody, this is preaching, not teaching at this point. But when you have somebody that's willing to do it, to study, to make sure that I don't say things that are inaccurate, to make sure it lines up with the Word of God, to make sure and then present that to you, I still want you to go dig up your own stuff. Dig it up for yourself and see, where did he get that? What scripture is that? Find it and share that stuff with me. Okay? I just want you to know that there's a lot of things that are happening in our society where there's division being sown and stirring up and pulling in all these different directions, and it's not of God. Okay, it's not. Okay, there's several churches in the Bible that are talked about in Revelation, mostly geographical, meaning they were massive in size. Some of them bigger than any mega church that we have today. Okay, and people don't say, oh, I don't really like mega churches. They didn't say that back then. They knew that they were going to get the right stuff. And everybody was on the same page. I have a friend that has missionary friends in other countries, and they said you could go to all these different little groups, and every one of them had a different gospel message because they all believe something else. And most of them that I see in the online guys is they get back into legalism. You're going to hell if you don't do this, this, and this. Okay, Jesus already paid that, so we got to keep the grace. Okay, it's time for this to unify. Okay, it is time for the church to unify. To be a force in the community, we need to be together. The church needs to come together, but unfortunately, the sign of the times that we're seeing is deception and division and separation. Okay, and so we're aware of that. We can see it for what it is. Now we act accordingly. Okay, we're aware of what the devil is up to so that we don't give in. Okay, we resist the devil so that he will flee. Get out of my community. We don't need it. Okay? In Jesus' name. Father, we praise you. We're grateful to Father for your word. Father, I pray you continue to speak to people throughout the week. Help people get into your word and to study it out, Lord, to see what you have to say along this line, Lord, to look at things not just on the surface level, Father, but they'll seek you, seek Holy Spirit revelation on whether things are right or wrong. Lord, let none of us get caught up into things like that group that I mentioned earlier where we're following after man's wisdom or demonically inspired things that are given to us. Lord, let us seek after you and hear clearly what you want to speak. And God, I do pray if there's anything that comes our way that is not of you, quicken it. Make your word alive to the point that we see that stuff that the enemy throws at us for what it is and refuse it, that we refuse anything that is not truth and we seek after you and only your truth for us. Father, we're grateful. Father, I thank you for working in hearts this week and changing lives from the inside out. I thank you for the work you've already begun and that you'll never quit doing until we come to be with you or you with us, Lord. We're praising you for these things. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.